You're listening to the Sagas in SaaS podcast. This episode features audio from a previously aired live video webcast.
To Sagas in SaaS Season 4, brought to you by Geek Saga Entertainment. I'm Tara, along with fellow hosts Nick and Jonathan.
This live webcast will cover Dust, Part 3 of Iron Gold, the fourth installment in Pierce Brown's Red Rising saga, and then it will be split into four podcast episodes, with each covering one of the four POV characters. If you're watching this as a webcast, there is a chance you will hear some spoilers for later books in the Red Rising series during our live webcast. However, if you are listening to this as a podcast, any spoilery bits have been edited out.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Sagas and SaaS, or email us at sagasandsaas@gmail.com to continue the conversation. Oh, and as always, the views expressed by the hosts are those of us as individuals and do not necessarily represent the show as a whole.
As if that changes very often. Last but not least, don't forget to check out our Patreon with 10 tiers ranging from $1 a month to $40 a month. It offers tons of ways to support us and receive some great perks in return, including early access to the podcast versions of these episodes, as well as timed patron-only access to these live videos, which will only be available to our patrons for the month after they've finished airing. You can find us at patreon.com/geeksaga_entertainment. We are meeting up with our favorite, or maybe not so favorite, sad boy next. When last we left Ephraim and Volga, they were on their way to deliver Pax and Electra, and that's where we pick back up with them. They hand the kiddos over to the Duke of Hands straight away, but despite the relative success of the job, things go downhill quickly. Because A, the Duke immediately starts being gross, smacking Pax around until the kid starts crying, which B, gets Volga all worked up, and for good freaking reason, with her reaction only being eclipsed when C, it turns out Lyria didn't stay put as she was told and instead tries to spy on things, makes a noise, and gets a passel of obsidian sent after her. And as if all of that wasn't enough, the Duke has taken Syra captive and had her brutally beaten because apparently she offered to spy on Ephraim. Gotta give Ephraim props, though. Syra might have tried to betray them, but he still implores the Duke to let her go, which the Duke does, in the sense that he lets her go right off the balcony of the high-rise. The Duke does try to offer Ephraim some sort of future employment, but Ephraim is ready to take Volga and get away from Luna. He's chartered a private shuttle to Earth, where he hopes they can disappear, but when Volga once again gets emotional over what might happen to the children, of course Ephraim picks a fight with her, because that's what sad boys do.
And this time, he finally goes too far. Volga leaves him, though not before tossing his Zolidone dispenser off their hotel room balcony. And later, she does not show up for their trip to Earth. Maybe she might have actually shown up, but it turns out there's more at play here. In fact, some other people show up instead. Holiday and Lyria. We'll get into that when we talk about Lyria's chapters, but for now, suffice it to say that it turns out Volga has actually been taken into custody. Ephraim knows he's pretty fucked, but gotta give him at least some kudos again, because he is worried about Volga and ends up agreeing to help them get the kids back, but only if they parted both him and Volga. In fact, he even tries to get them to release Volga immediately. Not that they agree to that, but hey, at least he tries, I guess. I mean, he really, like, the only reason he considers helping the children is to help Volga? Like, that's pretty messed up. Anyway, we love Volga, so whatever. His big plan is to return to the Duke of Hands under the pretense that he wants to truly sign up with the Syndicate, and then he comes on to the Duke in order to get him alone, and then he shatters the Duke's nose. So when the Duke isn't exactly forthcoming with info on where the children are, Ephraim cuts off one of his hands. Just talk about getting a taste of his own medicine.
Anyway, the Duke does finally lead Ephraim to Pax and Electra, and they use the Duke as their human shield as they make their way back to the Duke's suite, where his fancy chip is chilling on the patio, ripe for the taking. Not that things could really be that easy, though. Come on. Have you forgotten what a series we're reading? Because while Ephraim and the kids do make it onto the Duke's ship, it's only after Ephraim has been shot. Oh, and the other problem is that they are on the entire opposite side of the moon from the Citadel, and therefore any help from the Sovereign's forces are hours away. Also, they might have absconded with the Duke's ship, but huh, that ship was a gift from the Syndicate Queen, who obviously installed something that allows her to control it from afar. So what's a gravely injured sad boy to do when the big bad forces their ship to turn around? Well, I set off a bunch of grenades and sent it plummeting down onto the city, of course.
Oh my god, the Duke is so close with Pax.
Yes.
I don't care who his fucking parents are, he's just a fucking kid. And I know the Duke has his issues, like he was a slave, he was a pink, but this is a kid. This is a kid who was born right before the society crashed. Yeah. It's gross. It's gross. I don't want to talk about it too much. I hate it. Thank you. That's all. As for Lyria, of course, she doesn't stay put like Ephraim told her to. And now the Duke knows about her too, which is like another ugh. Granted, Ephraim is able to convince the Duke, sort of, we think, maybe, that he doesn't know how Lyria got there. Like, it seems that he might have convinced the Duke, or maybe the Duke is just like, don't really care. Yep. Who knows with the Duke, I guess. But, I mean, it doesn't matter because she gets a bunch of obsidian sent after her. So the last we know of Lyria for a while is that she's being chased by a bunch of obsidian. So she does escape, briefly at least. But we don't really know that she's safe for quite a while. And we'll get into that when we cover Lyria's chapters. But as for Syra and the fact that she was a traitor in her own way and got herself killed for her efforts to go behind Ephraim's back, I don't know. I wasn't super surprised necessarily that she tried to go behind his back, but also it seems really idiotic.
Yeah, and it honestly, it seems a little bit like just a way to take a character off the board, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong there. Although I don't know that she was so important of a character that Pierce really needed to take her off the board that way, honestly.
I just don't see another purpose for doing that.
For Ephraim, or guilt for him.
Well, yes.
I mean, that's, in my mind, the answer, that like everything he touches turns to shit.
Yes, and you're not wrong. And also, Volga is there, and she's allowed to live despite her questions about the children and protests over Syra, because as the Duke says, she was loyal in the end, and he appreciates loyalty. So it's sort of pitting Volga's loyalty against Syra going behind Ephraim's back. But also, there's that moment that Ephraim has, I think it's at the end of this chapter, right after Syra has died, where Ephraim is like, now there is a debt to be paid. Actually, I think it's less guilt that Ephraim is supposed to feel, and more like it's supposed to give Ephraim a little bit of extra oomph in his desire to go against the Syndicate, or the Duke specifically, at least, because now there's a debt that needs to be paid. Like, I mean, okay, dude, she still betrayed you. I don't know that I necessarily, I think that there's just less fleshing out of the reasons and motives here than I'm used to from Pierce, which is why this situation disappoints me, maybe.
Yeah.
But when the Duke asks Ephraim where he will go now, Ephraim says he hasn't thought beyond going to bed.
The Duke replies, you have money now, all for yourself, money enough to retire, to do whatever you like. But I know you, and you're not the sort to gather dust. You need this life, need it to feel alive, to feel anything at all. We always want more, people like you and me. The Queen can give you what you crave. I can give that to you.
Granted, like I said, it sounds that despite Syra being a rat, Ephraim is pissed that the Duke killed her. Pissed enough, like I said, again, to know that a debt is damn well owed. But how he's going to do anything about that with a person like the Duke or a group like the Syndicate is beyond me, particularly when Ephraim is already planning on running away to Earth. Really, though, despite the job being successful, quote unquote, Ephraim does in fact have more to be a sad boy about.
But even as he wonders what the Syndicate wants with the children, he's also reminiscing about his own past. I look back down at the city that has been my home since my mother spat me out, the youngest pup of six. I was just a government check to her, and to the government I was just another dog for the pack. I never tricked myself into thinking my city cared about me, but I cared for it in a way. I never cared about the society. I fought to free it. I fought for it when gold came to reclaim it. Now it changes around me. Old swallowed by new. And at the heart of the new is something I don't understand. Some wild, frenzied clamor for power, for riches, a war of all against all. I played along, but it wasn't me.
This just sounds like a get off my lawn sort of moment.
Yeah, right? Like,
get off my lawn, you kids. Oh, Ephraim. I mean, in a way, I don't blame him, but also.
Yep.
Thankfully, we have Volga, who, when they're hanging out in their fancy penthouse suite waiting for the next day or whatever, their private shuttle is going to take them to Earth. She takes away his Zolodone dispenser and just like throws it off the balcony of their hotel suite. Honestly, fuck Ephraim for trying to egg her into hurting him after this, and then him calling her a monster.
Yep.
Volga does not deserve, just period. Good for her once again for calling him the monster right back. But also, crying at how when he asks why she went along with this whole job, with the kidnapping, she says, I did it for you. I did it because you needed me. I've always needed you. You brought me here. You're my family. And I've never been able to do anything for you. Every time I try, you get angry. Go home, Volga. Fuck off, Volga. But here, this, it was something I could do to help. I could have your back like you have mine. I did not know it would be so hard.
Ephraim tries to just brush all that off by bringing up the adventures they'll have on Earth, but Volga won't let it go. She's worried they'll kill the kids, and when he says it's not their business, she says it's because they're part of the Republic. It is kind of an oops moment on her part, because Ephraim replies, why? Because we live here. That's the sort of shit they want you to think, so you go along thinking you got skin in the game. It's all a scam, princess. You're never fighting for yourself, you're always fighting for them. Loon, Augustus, Reaper, what's the gory damn difference?
Volga calls him evil, but he says he's just self-aware and that all a person can do is take care of themselves because no one else is going to. Just so much sigh. Mm. Every time Ephraim is mean to Volga, I just want to punch him in the face because Volga is a national treasure, okay?
Volga is easily one of the best characters in this entire series.
Oh, and he's just so mean to her.
Yeah.
You know, the things that he thought about Lyria and how much she was like Trig in part two when he was pretending to be Philippe is like, but Volga seems to be also a lot like Trig. So he's attracted to these sorts of people and then he inevitably hurts them horribly. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to say about it. I wish I had some sort of great character development moment to reiterate here, but no, this is what he does. He is attracted to these people and then he hurts them on purpose. The Lyria thing, okay, he was doing it for a job. So I'm not saying forgive it, obviously, but there was a reason why he betrayed Lyria, but the only reason he stopped himself from being super rude to her was because he knew if he was, the job wouldn't happen the way he needed it to because he needed her for it. With Volga, he needs her too, but he's so mean to her anyway. After all of this back and forth, it should not surprise Ephraim so much that Volga doesn't show up to leave with him, but the real reason she doesn't, I do kind of believe that she probably would have if she had been taken into custody. But she's captured by the Republic, which is thanks to Lyria. Don't worry, we'll get to her in just a bit.
Holiday and Lyria show up to confront Ephraim. But when Holiday accuses him of wanting to die and how he shouldn't take two innocent kids with him, he tells her they aren't innocent because of whose kids they are, stating, dead kids are the loose change of war. Don't come whining to me because the man and woman who started this don't want to pay out of their own pocket like the rest of us.
There's more to what Ephraim says than that, right? He goes into like, oh, all the kids who died in the Jackals bombings and the war sense, whatever. I get it, right? But two wrongs don't make a right. This reasoning is dirty and gross.
Regardless, you still don't say like, hey, kids are just the loose change of war. Like, oh, well, more kids are going to die.
Because also, the kidnapping of these two children is only going to make things worse. First of all, who knows how many people, including possible children, died when Ephraim used that gravity well to pull their ship, their shuttle, down. That alone, Ephraim, you can kiss my ass with your shitty ass reasoning. Thankfully, I guess, he obviously doesn't have much of a choice but to help them get the kids back, because Volga. But I also am kind of about him going to the Duke the way he does, or having to go to the Duke the way he does. It's just a lot. Thoughts on him having to come on to the Duke to get him off his guard? Because I don't like it. I think it's just because the Duke grosses me out a lot.
Yeah, he's real gross. And the whole situation is gross. I don't think I have much to say other than, like, this whole thing is gross and I didn't like it.
Like, I guess he's honeypotting him in a way, and I don't like the honeypot schemes, so. But bit of a side note, as Ephraim is dragging the Duke around to try to find out where he can get the kids and free them, the conversation they overhear along the way is interesting. I don't know if it's just two people in passing or if it's two guards. I think it might just be, like, two random people in passing. And they're talking about how some howlers have been arrested on Mars, Earth, and Mercury, which is interesting because at this point, all we know is that the vast majority of the howlers outside of the Obsidians and Holiday went to Earth to abscond with Apollonius. So that's interesting. They're also wondering about what the Syndicate Queen looks like. One of these people thinks she's an Obsidian. The other has heard she's a white. But also remember that earlier when Ephraim is with Holiday and Lyria, Holiday mentions that the Republic has been operating under the assumption that the Syndicate Queen is a red. So nobody freaking knows what color the Syndicate Queen is. That's obvious. I think it's just interesting that there's all of this back and forth about, like, oh, I think she's an Obsidian. I heard she's a white. Earlier, Holiday's like, we've been acting under the assumption that she's a red.
And I'm going to guess that it's not actually a she, right?
I mean, when Iron Gold came out, there were a lot of rumors about who the Syndicate Queen was. So we don't need to get into all that, but
Harmony, maybe?
I don't think Harmony's that smart. I think obviously she's not after what she did to Lyria's settlement at the beginning.
If this was similar to other books we've read, it would be Mustang.
Oh, God. Mustang would never. But when Ephraim finally does get to the children, just LOL everything about his interactions with Electra and Pax kind of trying to keep the peace between them. Electra just cuts his arm and says it's a down payment. And Ephraim is just having to constantly remind himself that these kids, you know, because he's like, oh, they're just kids. But also they're little warlords, constantly having to remind himself that they're little warlords. This is also like an aside of an aside. Him stopping to steal his favorite Dali painting, which is La Persistencia de la Memoria, is great. Partly because I freaking also love that painting. Is that not anybody's favorite Dali painting? Or is it just because it's the most famous? I've seen a lot of his other works, but I love that one because it, like, simultaneously is beautiful and creeps me out. Like, the clocks are kind of furry. It's not the fact that they're drooping. It's that they're, like, fuzzy or something. I don't know. I freaking love that painting.
Dali's paintings are weird.
How can you say that Salvador Dali's paintings are weird? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, no.
Dali's paintings are very based in reality. And
clocks are always gooey and fuzzy at the same
Thank
time.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody else said it.
That's
been my experience my whole life.
I wish one of us in this webcast was, like, an actual artist in terms of drawing, because I would love to see how you would draw La Persistencia de la Memoria if you'd never seen it before and all you'd heard was gooey furry clocks in a desert.
Gooey furry clocks?
They're gooey. They're droopy. Okay, listen, I love this painting. It's my favorite Dali painting, but also I don't know if it's my favorite Dali painting simply because it's the one I've seen the most, or if it's actually because I do have this feeling of both, like, wow, this is gorgeous, and also fucking creepy and weird, and it ekes me out. Like, I don't know. But anyway, I love that Ephraim was like, ooh, favorite painting. And he just stops to cut it out of its frame and steal it. And Elektra's like, ugh, even on the run, you're stealing things.
It's a specific callback too, because it's the one of the paintings that he dealt with as an insurance adjuster. Yep. And always suspected had been basically like set aside and was not actually lost. And so it's a nice little like, It's one of the few moments in this part that I actually was like, oh, that's a nice little Ephraim moment.
Obviously they escape, but barely. Ephraim is gravely injured, thanks to Gorgo. The funny thing is when Gorgo shoots Ephraim, Ephraim has this thought of when he was talking to Gorgo and he was like, you're the Duke's man. And he realizes the look, the little smile Gorgo gave him was sneaky because Gorgo straight up like shoots through the Duke to get Ephraim.
Because he was the Queen's man.
Ha ha. Their escape is spoiled because Ephraim is gravely injured. First of all, he's also saying, I'm just going to dump you on a rooftop to the kids. And Pax is like, nah.
Both Pax and Elektra hold razors to Ephraim to basically be like, you're going to fly us there. It annoyed me so much when Ephraim was like, no, I'm going to dump these kids on a rooftop. And like, I'm not telling you where we are right now. And all this stuff. I'm just like, seriously, bro, this is the game you're going to play.
This is the hill you die on.
Yeah.
He thinks he's going to die. And they're hours and hours from the Citadel, right? So I don't like what he did here. But I also feel like in the end, he might have had the right idea that dumping them on a random rooftop, if he could have done it without the ship being tracked to where they were dumped, it might have been safer than what happened next. Because the Queen herself gives them a call before taking over the ship from afar to try to bring the kids back to her. Obviously, the best option is for Ephraim to grenade the ship out of the sky. To be honest, he does the best he can with what he has, because I guess what else would he actually have done? He tells the kids to strap in and blows the ship to bits. And it plummets down into the city. Again, he's really good at crashing ships in the middle of cities on Luna, apparently. Let's be real. After all, he did know this whole thing was going to be a one-way ticket. Oh, Ephraim.
Oh, Ephraim.
We made a brief mention of Lyria earlier, but how did she end up at Holiday's side to question Ephraim? Well, we're about to find out because Lyria's POV chapters from part 3 are up next. As we close out the episode, we just want to give a shout out to our heroes, to your patron, Tommy of the TKOK Podcast Network. Thank you so much for supporting us. Once again, I'm Tara, along with Nick and Jonathan. Don't forget that you can always hit us up at Sagas and Sass on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or email us at sagasandsass@gmail.com with any comments or thoughts you might have.
Thank you for listening to the Sagas and Sass podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Sagas and Sass.